Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. Thank you for joining in to the broadcast this morning. We have got a wonderful topic today. Over the last 4 weeks in the month of May, it was dedicated to the victorious woman. And as we closed out the radio broadcast for May, it occurred to us that we had not addressed the male counterpart of this particular chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. It's about the virtuous woman, but it is for the man, the king, Lemuel, the instructions of a mother. And so today we're going to really close out our topic on the virtuous woman by talking about the husband of the virtuous woman. Who is he? Why does she choose or accept his proposal in marriage? She's already an accomplished woman, so what is it about him that makes her say yes? Let's take a look into their relationship and talk about the pros and cons of it, and perhaps we can find some answers to wedded bliss in this particular chapter. Proverbs chapter 31. If you have your Bibles this morning, you will want to go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to just look at this husband. And when you hear the word husband, you know, sometimes the hearts of the forlorn and the lonely get excited and they are ready to be married. From the time that we are little girls, we look forward to getting married. We look forward to the wedding day. We look forward to the wedding dress and the festivities. But just want you to know this morning that after the festivities and after the champagne and the Swedish meatballs and whatever your hors d'oeuvres are, there comes a marriage. And no longer is the man you married a groom. He has become a husband. Now the problem is this morning, every man is not yet husband material. That is why when you get him, you want to change him. So we want to look at this morning the husband of the virtuous woman so that we as women will know what to expect, excuse me this morning, what to expect when the man comes a-calling. That way we'll know whether he is husband material or not. What does he bring to the table, this husband of the virtuous woman? In ancient time, and still in some cultures today, in Eastern cultures, the groom-to-be must present a bride price to the father for the bride. And this is why the mother in this particular chapter, Proverbs 31, says to her son, the king, that her price is far above rubies. We're not just talking philosophically, but we're actually talking dollars and cents. Because he knows that when he chooses a wife, he has to come to the table with some substance. He has to come to the table and prove to her father that he can take care of this woman in the manner to which she is accustomed or better. He should never come to the table with less than what the father is providing for this woman. And this is one of the reasons we have struggles with the wedding is always wonderful, but with marriages today, is because daughter may keep bringing up, well, my dad used to do this, or I'll just ask my dad, or dad will help us out, and she is connected to the provision of her father. But the husband of the virtuous woman comes to the table with provision, abundance of provision. Somebody say abundance. Amen to that. It was customary to pay the bride price, and it had to be paid to the family, not to the bride. If the father agreed that this was sufficient, then the wedding could take place. If the father rejected it, there would be no marriage. And when we look at the characteristic of the husband here in Proverbs 31, we find that his characteristics are comparable to the virtuous woman. Listen to me, ladies, and listen to me, my brethren. Your mate should be comparable to you in every way. It does not mean that you will not be different, because the world tells us, oh, opposites attract. That's talking personality. Opposite personalities may attract, but you should have something in common that will keep the marriage going after the initial attraction. Number one, this particular characteristic is this man is a king. Naturally so, he's a king. And we have in our society today men who call themselves king, and we have the, you know, the old idiom that said a man is the king of his castle. Well, the man needs to provide the castle if he wants to be the king. Hello, somebody. The man needs to provide the castle if he wants to be king. And the problem, one of them that I see in society today, is that the virtuous woman is footing the bill for everything. She is the one with the house or the apartment. She is the one with the car. She is the one with the job or the business. She is the one that takes care of purchasing whatever is needed for the family, while old boy lays on the couch and plays Nintendo or Xbox or PS3 or 4 all day long. But yet he wants to say, hey, I'm the king of my castle. Not so. The characteristic of the husband of the virtuous woman is he is a man of self-control. He is not given to appetite. His mother instructs him even here that he's not to give himself to lots and lots of women. He's not to be a whoremonger or a player. Hallelujah. Can you hear me, brethren? It is not a badge of honor for you to call yourself a player. That should never be in your vocabulary, because what that really means is you take advantage of every possible opportunity with the woman that you can, and that's not good. So he exercises self-control in his relationship with women, and he exercises self-control in going after wine or strong drink, which his mother cautions him about. The characteristic of this husband is he is a man of leadership. He's a leader and an influencer of others. You won't find him following the crowd or just going along to get along. He has a mind, a strong opinion, strong convictions, and he sticks with what he believes. He is a wise judge. He judges fairly. He doesn't take bribes under the table or just side with somebody just to get along with them or to be their friend or to be in their crew. The husband of the virtuous woman is a wise judge. He speaks up for the rights of others. He is an advocate for fairness, and he lets his opinion be known. He is bold in his character. He's not sitting back in the corner mulling over what he would think or would say or could say, and just keeping his opinion to himself because he doesn't want to rock the boat. But the husband of the virtuous woman is a man who is an advocate for fairness. He is a defender of the poor. And this is one point, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take a look at how does he treat the person who can do nothing for him. In your modern-day relationships, it is good in the dating process if you would take note of how he treats people who cannot benefit him. How does he treat the waiter or the waitress at your dinner table? How does he speak to the cashier or the person at the drive-through window? What is his? How does he treat the people, the poor who can do nothing for him? How does he handle the homeless man on the street or the homeless woman or someone who's riding the bus versus him, you know, driving maybe, you know, a Chrysler 300 or whatever it is, whatever his persuasion, a Charger, a Mustang GT, anything. But how does he treat people who have nothing to offer or to benefit him? That's a point you will need to look at, because if he does that, if his behavior is negative concerning those people, you can rest assured that the wife is going to receive the very same treatment. Secondly, he is attentive and takes heed to the advice of his mother. Ladies, since we're talking to you, and brethren, how you treat your mother is how you're going to treat your wife. Ladies, How he treats his mother is how he's going to treat you. How he treats his sisters is how he's going to treat you, because in his sight, in his eye, a woman is a woman is a woman. And so he's not going to treat you one way and treat his mother another way. If the two don't mix, or you're looking at it, he's treating you all rosy and clean, and he treats his mother with disrespect and dishonor, you can know that he's putting on a show. Lord have mercy, I hope you hear this show today. He's putting on a show for you until he gets you under his wing, so to speak, in his clutches, and then you, my friend, my sister, my darling, my daughter, are going to receive the very same treatment. So keep your eyes open for how he's treating the women in his life that are close to him. The husband of the virtuous woman is a confident man. He has confidence in her. He is not a jealous man. He is not afraid that she's going to run off with some person, but he is confident that because he has been upright and bold and strong and a good provider and a good lover, that she is not going to stray from their relationship. So he's confident. You won't have him. You won't find him checking her phone to see who she's been texting or calling. Ladies, likewise, you shouldn't want to be checking his phone. If you can't trust your man with a telephone, you certainly can't trust him with your life or to be the father of your children. Oh, I know I'm in the vein this morning. The virtuous man is not a jealous man. He is well respected in the community. So take a look at your boo. Is he well respected in the community, or are people afraid to pass down the sidewalk where he stands? If this is your man, maybe you need to take a look at who you're choosing. I'm talking about the virtuous woman now, because you deserve better. The virtuous woman is well respected in her community. Therefore, the man who she attracts should be well respected in her community. You're always going to have the wolves and the charlatans circling to see if they can devour you. But I want you to have the wisdom this morning to know the difference. Just because somebody approaches you does not mean God sent them. Amen, somebody. Amen, walls. Amen, lights. Amen. Now, he is not controlling or fearful. He is not. When you take a look at the virtuous woman and see that she is rising up early and going to bed late and going out checking on property and going to the marketplace and going through trying to see what kind of product she can buy so that she can make another product that she can then turn for a profit, this woman is busy all the time. Yes, she's taking care of her household, though. Ladies, if you're in business, if you're a marketplace virtuous woman, understand if you have a household, you don't put your household second. It's priority. Your husband is priority over your business. Your children are priority. Your household is priority. Use some wisdom when doing your business. Yes, there will come times alternately when one will have to take precedence over the other, but it should not be a continuous thing that your business is number one and your family is second. That is a no-no. But the husband of the virtuous woman is not controlling. He's not wanting to know where you're going now and who you're going with, and you can't do that, and you've been out 3 days this week, and you shouldn't be doing this. He's not holding her back, but he is encouraging her, and he is lifting her up to go forward. He is in her corner 100%. He's not coming up with little schemes to try to sabotage the work that she's trying to do. He is confident in who he is as a man, and he is perfectly content to allow his wife to do what it is she's doing without having to be, quote, unquote, the boss or the I'm head of this household. If you have to shout, I'm the head, then chances are you're not. Just a little thought there. Your actions and activities should demonstrate that you're the head. Like I said, if you're laying on the couch with Nintendo, Xbox, and PS4, chances are you may be in the house, but you might not be head of the house. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot be a house husband and not be the head of your house, but you've got to put more in than your thumbs. if you get my drift this morning. All right. He's well respected in the community. He's not controlling. He is attentive and kind. This the scripture verse lets us know that he looks at his wife and he calls her blessed. He pays her compliments. He praises her. He is not afraid of her shine. He is not deterred by her sparkle. He is absolutely enamored of her, and he is not afraid to tell her that she is doing a marvelous job. He is not afraid to notice when she does gets a new haircut or a new hairdo or a new outfit. He is excited about that, and he praises her, he encourages her, and he pushes her to do her best work. The scripture also lets us know that he is a good man. How do we know that this king, who is talking about this particular passage of scripture, that he's a good man? Because if we do a cross-reference scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Excuse me. Now, we know that God is our Father, so in the place of relationship, as the man is bringing the bride price, he has to pass the inspection of the Father. So if God allows this man to find you as a wife, this virtuous woman as his wife, this means that God has shown this man favor because he's allowing him to connect and marry you. It is one thing to just want to be with someone, but it is another thing entirely when God is so pleased with you that he gives you favor with this particular powerful, capable, anointed, profitable, virtuous woman. He finds favor. He obtains favor with the Lord. So this means he's a good man. Then he is committed to their relationship. Because then he marries her and makes her a wife and not just his woman or his bae or his boo or all of some of the other names that men call women in our modern society. And women smile and think that that's a compliment. It is not. The greatest compliment a man can pay you in a relationship is to make you his wife. Say amen, lights. Shout right now, walls. Amen. So he's committed. He marries her and he doesn't shack up. He's favored by God and has the Father's blessing to approach his daughter. In Proverbs chapter 8, excuse me, that was powerful thunder cracking the skies this morning. That startled me. Proverbs chapter 8 lets us know is that he is a man who goes after wisdom. He seeks after wisdom. The scripture says, he who finds me wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So he's got to be a wise man. You can't be the husband of the virtuous woman and be a fool. I understand this. We talk about Abigail and Nabal, and when David came through the region and he was asking Nabal to help feed his army, Nabal was very foolish in rejecting the request of the king. But Abigail put together some food stuffs and gathered them up and ran out to the camp of David to keep this man from coming back and annihilating everything that he saw. This was a wise woman and a virtuous woman, but her husband, Nabal, was a foolish man, a foolish man. So, ladies, don't be persuaded by his smile or his charm. Make sure that he is a man of wisdom, and he seeks wisdom, and he takes counsel from people who are wise instead of always going to his homies for instruction on things they know nothing about, the blind leading the blind. They will both fall in the ditch, and if you're hooked up with him, you'll go down too. But we're talking about the husband here. He who finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So when he comes, he's bringing wisdom to the table. Praise the Lord. So these, my friends, have been the characteristics of the husband of the virtuous woman. And I want to thank you to today for just tuning in for this brief moment to share this particular radio broadcast with us. He is a good man. And ladies, understand that you deserve a good man, especially if you are a virtuous woman. You definitely deserve a good man. And these are the characteristics. Make sure you continue to visit the book of Proverbs, not just chapter 31, but go through the book of Proverbs so that you might also obtain the wisdom that is necessary, not just for relationship and marriage, but for wisdom and life in general. Thank you again. I want to just share with you a couple of announcements that we have this week. We are having an exciting time launching the book, Apprehending the Kingdom, that God has given me, and we're holding a book launch on Facebook. If you are on Facebook, I want you to come on over to Book Launch Apprehending the Kingdom. Join the fun that we're having over there. We're talking about the kingdom. We're creating a buzz in the kingdom. We're stirring up the pure minds of the people of God to even begin to focus on kingdom, to understand kingdom, and then to begin to demonstrate the kingdom. You will want to come over to there with us and meet us at the event called Book Launch Apprehending the Kingdom. I also like to offer you the opportunity to like our Facebook page. It's also called Apprehending the Kingdom. And you can just friend me up on Facebook if you're out there in Facebook land. Another thing is, I want to remind you that we do have a weekly broadcast right here this Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. We'll be coming back to you every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. This month we're going to be talking about self-esteem. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful word. We are going to get the victory over negative self-thought and negative self-talk, because we are going to drive home the point. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we know right well. We are the apple of his eye, and there is no failure in us. Everything God created is good, and he will show us that no matter what it is, it will work together for the good of them that love God and who are the called according to his purposes. We will take authority over every whispering spirit that comes to you in your downtime to try to tell you that you are not enough. You are more than enough and well able to take the kingdom. We bless you today. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin, who is your Marketplace Apostle, inviting you to our Facebook forum event, Apprehending the Kingdom. It's a book launch. It's a book that absolutely changed the way I pray. It changed the way I live. It changed the way I look at my fellow man. It changes the way even that I interpret the scripture as I go into the Word of God. I want you to know that there is power in seeking the kingdom of God. We bless you this morning, and we just want to release you today with this word. Remember, you are not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless you, and have a great... I'm sorry.